Do you ever want to dive deeper into the Bible, but you just don't know where to begin or struggle to feel like you even have the time? When you read the Bible, do you get frustrated because you know there is so much more in there, you just have no clue how to get it out? Or maybe you want to know the Bible better and you're looking for any resource to help? Well, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome to the Context and Color of the Bible podcast. We are two sisters. I'm Erica.
I'm Veronica.
We love to study the Bible and we love to help others understand it better. When it comes to our own study of Scripture, we have found that in bringing back the context of Scripture, it adds to our understanding. It actually adds color to the black and white pages of the text. Veronica.
Erica.
You know what one of my dreams is?
Nope.
That one of these days, I don't know when, I'm going to have a fabulous story to tell over the podcast that will have you laughing and our listeners laughing.
You just made me laugh.
I know. I don't know why, but that's so desperately something I would like to do, is just have a really fun, because there's something about laughing.
Yes, that's true.
Getting that real belly laugh.
Yes.
I love that. And I'm not a funny person. I love laughing.
Right.
I'm not usually someone who can make people laugh.
You're not the one that's the center.
No, I'm not the center. That's but right. I love to laugh. So I'm always attracted to people who are hysterical.
Right.
Our little sister.
She's good.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
She can make me laugh. She can make anybody laugh.
Yeah.
But so one of these days.
But I do feel like we laugh on this podcast.
We do.
I do feel like we have
we
fun.
We do. We have a good time.
Even though today we're still talking about sexual sins.
Oh, yeah. So we're really going to have fun on the podcast.
Right. Well, actually, you know, as we've been talking about Leviticus, and again, I said this last week and I'm going to keep saying it, I'm finding this book so fascinating. And I'm still struggling with and wrapping my mind around, I want to do a workbook for teens and tweens.
Yes, you totally should.
I know. And so I'm going to.
Because I want my kids to hear this.
It's still kind of going, okay, how does that look? How do you have a discussion
on sexual immorality with tweens?
Yes.
I can just picture my 11-year-old going, a dog?
I know.
Oh.
Or just, here, go read chapter 18. You know, there's a lot. Okay, cross off every person in your family
that you cannot sleep with.
Yes. So it's just, but yet you go, this is how in Jesus' day, this was the book they started with.
Right. A 5-year-old.
With a 5-year-old.
Well, but maybe that's good because then they don't ask questions.
You really think Asher's not going to ask questions? He's 6, but.
Well, I mean.
You think Natty Grace wouldn't have asked
Natty
questions?
Grace will ask questions, but she's got something else. But I don't know if a 5-year-old is always going to think through some of these things.
Right. So instead you just grow up knowing.
Right. I don't do that.
Who's off limits.
Right.
I don't know.
That is so weird.
Yes. But what we're trying to do, one of our goals is to help you understand Scripture, because if you understand it, it's easier to teach it to others.
Yes.
It's easier to help your children or your Sunday school class or an adult you're mentoring, because truthfully, this book is a hard, dry book.
And then you come back to it.
Yes.
If you get tired of going, I don't understand it, I'm just done reading it.
Mm-hmm.
But once you begin to see it and it makes sense, then you go, oh, now I wonder what else makes sense.
Right.
What other books have I not studied? Where else can I see this? You
right.
are drawn to something when it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're trying to do. So as we get into chapter 19 today,
okay.
Remember 18 and 20 are like those two pillars.
Right.
Talking about idolatry and
sexual immorality.
That goes along with false religions. 19 then stands off, but it in a way glows because it's like, oh.
It's not about sex.
Yeah, exactly. But instead, 19 is going to take those blood laws that we actually started in chapter 7, verses 22 to 27, and expand it here.
Okay.
And we're going to, again, see respect for life, whether it's life of a person or life of the blood. Or even plant life, because again, we keep saying the land is being polluted by sin. It is being defiled.
Which you pointed out, and I'll bring it up, in Genesis.
Yep.
What verse was it?
19:25.
If you go back, and I had never really noticed this, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he also says, and the vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
Like the vegetation itself can be impure
mm-hmm.
and need to be destroyed, purified,
mm-hmm.
dealt with.
Mm-hmm. And so, because as we do this, Mary Douglas says this is the most important chapter in the entire book.
Leviticus 19. Mm-hmm.
On teaching on the meaning of righteousness.
And righteousness means to rightly obey God's commands, how to live according to God's standard.
We have a whole podcast on
righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so chapter 19 is important. If you want to know how to live according to God's commands, mm-hmm. study chapter 19.
Yeah. Because, but what she says is chapter 19 is actually not complete.
Right.
She's saying it's exemplifying the rhetorical principle of delayed completion by finding its counterpart in chapter 26. And then in understanding chapter 26, only then do the pieces all fall into place.
So 19 and 26 go together.
Yes.
You have to study them together.
Teaching them together today. So you have to come back.
When we do chapter 26.
Probably in two podcasts.
Because then you'll put them together.
Because then we'll put them together. Okay. Yes. That's always been my goal, is to keep completing
the ring.
What I've started. So hopefully you felt like 1 through 17, what I laid out was completed last week. Mm-hmm. And then today we're doing 18 last week, but 18, 19, 20. Next week we'll come back and do 21 through 24.
Lord willing.
That should be.
Lord willing.
No. One podcast. And then 25, 26, and 27 all together is one podcast.
Lord willing.
And that day, I know. Good things I'm talkative, apparently.
And I'm then, just acknowledging.
But what I want to come back to, when we finish the book of Leviticus, I do want to go then to the prophets and the New Testament and make some connections there.
Oh, yeah. Always good.
Yes. Always just helpful. To show you, I really want you to believe me when I say Leviticus is a foundational book. Mm-hmm. And I want to show you why I think that.
So those are podcasts you don't want to miss.
Those are coming up. Yep. That's our goal. We're hooking you in. Yeah. To go. Yeah. If you go, oh, I'm not really liking this anymore, come back, stick around.
Hang in there for this.
Yes. So, but as we look at 19 then, the big lesson that you're hopefully getting out of 19, last week's discussion and today's discussion, is holiness is now within reach of every Israelite. And we've kind of been saying this throughout the podcast of, this is not just, oh, tribe of Levi, you all have to live differently. Everyone else, you're off the hook.
Right.
God is calling, and that's what you're going to see throughout these chapters. God is calling everyone. Speak to Israel. Speak to the people. They all have to live holy. Set apart, dedicated, unique to God. And so that's what this chapter is going to give you. Jacob Milgram breaks it into 16 different units with two amendments at the end.
What do you mean?
Chapter 19. You can break it like these verses go together. These verses go together.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not, maybe I'll make a worksheet up with that. I don't know right now. But each one contains the commandments by which holiness can be achieved. And if you look at chapter 19, it starts off with verse 3. Can you read that, Air?
Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.
Okay, and then I'll have you do 4 as well.
Do not turn to idols or make gods of cast metal for yourselves. I am the Lord your God.
Have you heard these verses? Similar
yeah, the
verses?
10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ten commandments.
Words. Yeah.
Okay. From Deuteronomy and Exodus.
Yeah.
But the difference is Jacob Milgram says this time God's starting with Sabbath, respecting your parents and Sabbath, which is not where the 10 start.
No.
Mm-mm. And so he says by starting with that, you're showing that ethics, mm-hmm. respect for your parents, and rituals are equally important. And they go hand in hand.
Oh, yes, because it's so true. Because you have, I mean, later on, that's one of the mm-hmm. things that Jesus blasts some of the Pharisees over. You are doing the ritual, mm-hmm. but your ethics mm-hmm. are not there.
Mm-hmm. And so he just says, this is what you're seeing here. You're also going to see talking about worship of other gods, idols, idolatry forbidden. Again, so you have these links
right.
to Deuteronomy and going back to Exodus.
Right.
But what you'll see over and over again is I, Yahweh, your God, have spoken, and I, Yahweh, your God, am holy.
And we just want to point out, because you said it earlier, these are ways to be holy, because holy means set apart.
Yes.
And so we're not talking about sinless perfection.
Right.
Again, we are talking about being set apart to the Lord, being set apart from the world. And this chapter and 26 lays out practical ways to do that.
Because you're going to see a lot of anyone who disobeys God's injunctions, things like caring for the underprivileged or the aliens, they're desecrating God's holiness.
By not doing those things.
By not doing it. Because you're supposed to represent God. Mm-hmm. Be holy as I am holy. Be set apart for I'm set apart. Right. So he's telling them how to be set apart. Because like Eric already said, remember, they were to be a kingdom of priests, not with priests.
But now they are a kingdom with priests.
Right. But everyone's actions matter. And I'll come back to this again when we do our one on the prophets. But these are the laws you need to be thinking about when the prophets come and start blasting the people. This will help you understand why God's upset.
Right.
Because the prophets repeatedly rail against the neglect and the exploitation
right.
of the poor, the widow, the alien, the orphan.
Right.
Because truthfully, if you look it up, God says, hey, the widow and the orphan are to be put under the charge of their nearest relative. He's setting up so they're not neglected. So they're not left.
Right. So they have someone to take care of them.
And the alien is under the responsibility of the owner of the land where he's residing.
Oh.
And so if you're seeing this popping up in the prophets, these people were not supposed to be neglected.
Right.
God set it up. There's somebody who's to help them. And so if they're not being helped, if they are abandoned.
You're not doing your job.
You're not doing what I told you to do. Because ultimately our job is to emulate God, emulate the king.
Right.
That's your job. Here's how to treat people. Here's how to take care of the poor. Here's how to act. And so it's interesting because chapter 19 directly follows the detailed description of relationships that are not pleasing to the Lord. And now he says, here's how these relationships can be pleasing to me. Here's how you're supposed to act with each other. So Karen Hannah Pryor says, this indicates that holiness is connected to your relationships and how you act and treat people.
I think you need to say that again.
This indicates that holiness is connected with relationships. And I'm going to point some of these out as we get going. Verse 9. Chapter 19, verse 9. It's their welfare system. Again, I'm going to say it again. The widow and the orphan are being taken care of by the family, and the alien is being taken care of the landowner. You might see that in chapter 25.
Right.
As well.
But what does verse 9 say?
Do you want to read it?
It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. To go down, verse 10, leave them for the poor and the alien. But I love God's welfare system is not, here, give them food.
Right.
Give them opportunity to get food, to work, to get where they can be self-sustaining.
Right.
You don't just let them stand in a line and you pass out the bread to them. No, they have to get it themselves and make it. But you give them opportunity where they can get it themselves. That's God's welfare system.
Right. Which I think a lot of countries could use.
Yes.
Okay, here's one. Can you read verse 14?
That's verse 13, verse 14. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord.
Okay, so essentially God says, don't trip the blind man.
Which was, part of me just wants to go, why does that have to be you? Of course.
Right?
But obviously we need to be told that.
Or don't curse the deaf. Guess what?
Because they can't hear.
They didn't hear your words. They didn't hear the curse. And you go, okay, why does God say that?
Because apparently people were, okay.
Yeah, because the bigger idea here is don't take advantage of someone's disability or weakness. You know, whatever their weakness, their disadvantage is.
Don't take advantage of it.
Yes, which would be so easy to. Because then you followed up with, but fear your God, I am the Lord. Why am I not doing this?
Because I fear the Lord.
And he's watching. And so you just go, oh, he knows you did it. Even if the deaf person never hears your curses or the blind person never knows you're the one that put the stumbling block in front of him.
God does.
God does. And you just go, oh, it's so much bigger.
Right.
When I look at it that way.
Why, were you tempted?
No.
To rip somebody?
No, because Jacob Milgrom says the deaf and blind are in a way synonyms for the helpless. And curses and stumbling blocks are synonyms for abuse and power and abuse and harm.
Right.
Don't abuse that person because of their disability. Don't harm that person.
Right.
Because they can't defend themselves.
Right. Because God sees.
Right.
And God will defend them.
Right. All right. How about verse 15? Eric, you want to read that one?
Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great. But judge your neighbor fairly.
Okay. This one's kind of interesting because you go, what's wrong with having partiality towards the poor? They can't
keep my
help
mouth
it.
Shut.
Okay, but you can go, what's that doing? Because in the pursuit of justice, there can be no favoritism.
Right.
Which is fascinating because you don't often hear that. And it's like, you're right. Just like you don't, and even James talks about, don't favor the wealthy person
right.
with gold and rings.
Right. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Mm-hmm. Who's at fault?
Mm-hmm. And actually, now that I'm saying that, James supposedly, one of my commentators has said, James is basically taking Leviticus and commenting on all of these verses.
Oh, fascinating.
So you should be able to find connections between James and Leviticus.
Huh.
All right. Verse 18. Can you read that one, Air?
Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Okay, and so my commentary said, this one, the sense is that one ought not to keep alive the memory of even another person's offense against him.
The memory.
The memory. You can, okay, you have to forgive the offense, but you also have to let go of that memory.
That's so hard.
I know.
Like, I get it. I don't know.
I know. That one's a hard one.
Like, Lord.
Get rid of that memory. It's like, okay, God, then you got to help me get rid of that memory.
Right.
But also, okay, don't replay it over and over again.
Right.
Don't talk about it. Don't keep sharing it with people.
Right.
Let it go.
It does help when you do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, how about verse 19?
I'm starting to get to the point where I have to move my Bible.
Because she has teeny tiny letters.
Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seeds. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of materials.
And we talked about this back in our podcast on chapters 11 through 15, because the idea is that mixture, when the priesthood gets dressed, they have the mixture of linen with wool, I think it is. And so God's saying here, all these mixtures, animals, seeds, clothing, Jacob Milgrom says these mixtures were reserved for the sacred sphere. The priest and the sanctuary. And so there, and you have in mythology, you often have mixtures like this scene, hybrid animals.
Right.
Or gods mating with humans.
Yeah.
And so God's going, keep all these different mixtures out and apart because you want to remember when these mixtures do happen, what they are associated with. So when you mix those cloths, the wool and the linen or whatever it is together, that's the high priest is wearing that. But here's the interesting thing. Not just the priesthood. Now, let me say it this way. Numbers 15 tells the people to wear that blue thread with this mixture.
Right.
To remember it's not just the priesthood. That they are to be a priest, even if they're not of the tribe of Levi.
They're to be holy.
Holy and different.
Right.
And so that's your mixture one. All right, how about verse 33?
33. When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him.
Okay. And again, we talked about the aliens because ultimately it comes back to, and you'll see this again, never forget you were strangers in a foreign land. You can never completely take away their past.
Right.
Because you have to remember, here's where you came from. Here's how you were mistreated.
Right.
And so you are going to do differently.
Right.
You're going to do to others
what you wanted done to you
rather than what they did to you. And so as you read through, like I said last week, I'll say it again this week. If you say, hey, this verse, can you explain it a little more? Because I'm not hitting every verse.
Right.
Jump on social media. Jump on our website. Sign up for our newsletter. That way you can email us directly, and we will try to privately then answer some of those questions. Because I do get some of these, it's like, what? That doesn't make sense.
Right.
But I tried to hit the big ones.
Right.
So chapter 19 then is all about how to live righteously.
Okay.
How to look different. How to act different.
Okay.
Chapter 20 then, we get back into, oh yay, sexual sins. And thankfully, I don't have a lot because chapter 18 and chapter 20 are so connected. There's so many overlaps. But again, keep in mind, Molech worship, they were sacrificing children. They were burning them to death. So you actually have two crimes. You have idolatry and murder, which is why then the punishment is so severe.
Okay.
Let's see. Verse 16, you kill the beast because animals can bear the guilt. We've seen that before. Just like in Jonah, the animals participated in repentance.
Right.
So if animals can repent or participate in the repentance, animals also therefore share in the consequences.
Right. Just like the vegetation.
Verses 22 through 26. Separation creates order and distinctions. Do you want to read 22 through 26?
Oh, do you want me? I can.
Let me look at them real quick again.
22 through 26. Keep on.
No, I'll just let people read those.
Okay.
But
never mind.
I know. But again, keep in mind that separation creates order and distinctions between elements because that must be maintained. So you don't collapse into confusion and chaos, according to Jacob Milgram.
Which I feel like we are seeing that in our own culture today. As we remove distinctions, we are seeing chaos daily in the news and in the school systems. And distinction is important.
And because you want structure. You want, if you have structure, if you have organization, you have differences.
Right.
But ultimately, and we're going to end a little bit early today. Ultimately, the whole goal of chapters 18, 19, and 20 is about holiness. And it's a reminder that the lay person can attain holiness.
Because it's set apart unto the Lord.
They are called to be holy. They do not get a free ride, a check off. You don't have to do any of this because they're not of the tribe of Levi. But then the priest must sustain it because holiness can be diminished or enhanced by either violating or disobeying the divine commands. So the layperson must attain it, can attain it, and the priest must sustain it. That's the priest's job.
Right.
To keep reminding the people, here's how to be holy. Here's how to be set apart.
Right.
Because you can, I mean, and that's what I love the idea of. You can diminish it, the set apartness, or you can enhance it.
Right.
And God makes it very obvious. You either violate my commands.
Right.
And that diminishes the holiness, the set apartness, the uniqueness, or you enhance it. By obeying. And God, I mean, God's not asking for the impossible. Again, holiness, if you're not sure what holiness is, we have a whole podcast.
Right.
Roughly in the 160s.
Oh, right.
On our Old Testament treasures. But the whole idea of holy is to be set apart. It does not have to be do with being morally perfect.
Right.
God's not saying, hey, you are never allowed to sin. You are never allowed to screw up.
Right.
No, God says, when you do, here's how to fix it.
Right.
But here's what you can do. Here's what you can aim for.
Right.
To be different. Here's how to look differently.
Right.
In some of those verses, then you can kind of go, oh, as we think about this, it gets a little bit broader.
Right.
You know, that whole verse on tripping the blind.
Right.
That when you look at it that way, you go, oh, that's a bigger picture there than just one specific instance.
Right. Yep.
So that's it.
That was good.
Next week is chapters 21. Through 24.
Okay.
As we're still in the holy place, according to Mary
Douglas
is set up. But as always, join us on social media. Like I said, we have Facebook, we have Instagram where you can interact, you can ask your questions. We have Pinterest where I put up the different graphics that go along with what we've been talking about, trying to help you visualize it a little more. We have our website where you can see pictures. You can find all the podcasts.
Right.
Well, almost all of them.
Most of them.
You can, if you want to figure out which ones aren't there, you can go for it. But very few and far between. But thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.